Mr. Evan Eggers, president of SureCruise.com, is on the telephone with the latest cruise news. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Roy.
I missed chatting with you the last couple of weeks.
I know. Our schedules, we missed each other.
Well, I was out there on those camels in Jordan, you know.
None of the camels tried to spit on you, did they?
No. In fact, actually, they were really quite good. I expected that, but the one that I sent you the photo of, we were trying to have them shipped and to save gasoline, but it just it isn't going to work. Anyway, getting to the cruise news, which I haven't been keeping up on too much, but I did see this stingray situation where the crocodile hunter, whatever his name was actually killed. And what immediately came to my mind is that there are many places, such as the Cayman Islands, where they have these areas where you can swim with these stingrays, and how safe is it?
Yeah, and that's an excellent question that I've dug into, and it turns out that, as you say, Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, was killed in what is acknowledged by experts in stingrays to be a real freak accident in Australia while he was filming a shoot. Now, what Steve was doing is he was out in the water, obviously, with a very large stingray that wasn't accustomed to humans at all, for one thing. Right. He and his photographer kind of inadvertently boxed it in. You know, they didn't mean to, but that's what people are thinking the stingray was thinking, is that it was kind of trapped. And so it flipped up its barb and hit Steve in the chest and killed him. Now, the stingrays that people swim with in the Caribbean are totally different. There are different kind of species of stingrays, for one thing, and they're also completely acclimated to humans. And in fact, Stingray City at Grand Cayman, it's called Stingray City. It's not a formal place. It's just an area where humans have been feeding stingrays for 20 years, so the stingrays know to come there and get food. But they're not held in. They're not captive. They can come and go as they please. So the stingrays are choosing to go to Stingray City and interact with humans and get fed. And those stingrays obviously have been hanging out with humans, as I say, for 20 years, so it's a whole different kettle of beans there. Now,
and they don't feel threatened.
Well, exactly. They're totally used to the humans. They don't feel threatened, and, you know, they're just used to it. So there have been, you know, people have certainly, you know, gotten minor stings at Stingray City over the years, but nothing at all major, even remotely life-threatening.
In his case, he was in a remote area. Well, he was diving off the Barrier Reef or something.
That's right.
And so the tail barb came up, and I'm just wondering how it pierced his body. I mean, I've never seen them take a thrust at anything. You know?
Well, and apparently when they're in distress, that's exactly what they do, is that tail barb can swing up mechanically to straight up, because obviously stingrays spend a lot of time near the ocean surface,
right.
Near the ocean floor, rather, I'm sorry. And so they're usually needing to protect themselves from something above them. So apparently when they're really scared, that barb can mechanically swing straight up.
And he must have just been right over the top of it.
Exactly. Now, there are other places where you can swim with stingrays, like I think there's a Discovery Cove, like a Busch Gardens attraction kind of a thing in Orlando. And they actually clip the barbs on the stingrays. And because the barbs, they kind of grow like a fingernail off your finger, it doesn't bother the stingray at all. But
right.
So there are other places to do that.
Yeah, because this is the first incident I've ever heard of this. Now, of course, there may be a number of them, but because of you know, his celebrity status, obviously it gets more attention.
Well, certainly, as long as the swim with the stingrays kind of activities have been available to tourists, you know, land tourists and cruise passengers, nothing like this has ever happened. Nothing
mm-hmm.
remotely like this has ever happened. So it is very rare.
Well, it's all very unfortunate, but you know. Years ago when I used to travel through Africa and you try to convince people that you're not in the zoo, these animals are in their natural habitat, you have to be careful. You just can't treat them as if they were pets.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I myself, if I'm at Stingray City or something, I'm probably not going to try and pick up a stingray, as people will do from time to time there.
Or attempt to step on one, actually.
Right, yeah, that's right. Well, and actually, that's another little, let's throw a little piece of advice out there just for people at the beach. If you're, you know, at a beach someplace that there are stingrays known to be there, what you do is you shuffle your feet along the sand as you're walking along, so that if there's a stingray there, you just kind of shoo it out of the way.
Yeah.
Because the normal way that people get minor injuries from small stingrays is by swimming at the beach and stepping on the things.
Exactly.
And so you just shuffle your feet along as you walk, rather than walk normally. You've got really no problem.
Yeah, we have that happen in this area during the mating season or the growing season, when the young stingrays are just at the water's edge under the sand and you don't see it. So obviously, those that get hurt just inadvertently step on one.
That's right. And they are some very gentle creatures overall. I mean, they're totally...
Now, moving along from the stingrays, an interesting item that Princess Cruises is going e-ticket.
Yeah, this is interesting. Now, you know, there are several cruise lines that have had e-tickets as an option for various reasons. So, like, for example, if you book a cruise 3 days in advance, you can get e-tickets from certain cruise lines because they can't get you documents fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
But Princess is the first people to step up and say we're going all e-ticket. And I think there are lots of benefits all the way around. One of the big benefits to passengers, of course, is there's no delay in getting documents. They can get them as soon as they're available.
Right.
And they're saying they'll, you know, Princess has said that they'll get them earlier than ever, and air details will be available 75 days in advance, which is nice, which they're claiming is earlier than any other cruise line.
I believe it's starting this week, in fact.
That's right. That's right. It's starting this week. People with sailings after for most ships after mid-November can go ahead and download their cruise documents and be ready to go.
This will give the passengers a 24/7 access printout of their cruise details and boarding passes whenever they wish, I imagine.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. And it makes total sense, because when you think about it, it's funny how, you know, things are done just because they've always been done that way. And, you know, we can all remember, well, for some international tickets, of course, for airlines, you still need tickets, but for most domestically, you don't. The ticket used to be a document that had value back in the day, right? You remember this?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, if you lost your ticket, you're out of luck. The ticket's
right.
Worth money. To get a refund, you got to present your ticket. Well, those days are long gone. These tickets are just kind of nice little confirmation documents, so who needs them?
that's exactly right. When I was coming, flying out of New York the other day, I didn't even have my printout. I just gave them my... In fact, I didn't even give them my name. They just asked me for ID in the normal manner. I handed them my passport, and next thing I know, they had it all. I didn't even say a word.
And you're on the plane. That's right. And so the cruise industry is catching up, as well they should, and that's great. So, you know, people I'm sure will like this.
Now, and you mentioned you can get their flight information, which is a good thing, and also they'll get notices of packages and transfers, shore excursions, and all of that stuff as well, which will be available to them.
Yeah, that's right. And every cruise line is moving either quickly or slowly, but moving toward making all that information available on the web. For example, booking shore excursions in advance and that type of thing, which is very nice. So, you know, the more the better. And Princess is known inside the industry as a technology leader on all this stuff. And if you talk to any travel agency, they'll tell you that among the cruise line reservation systems, Princess is the best. And in fact, Princess is now used also by Cunard and Holland American Windstar. All use Princess's software. So they're a technology leader, and this shows it once again.
Well, and it makes life a lot easier for everybody, and that's what that's what computers are all supposed to be about. Cut back on the paper. Now, the other interesting item is that the class action has been denied in the case of NCL on that Rogue Wave lawsuit.
Right, which totally makes sense. Now, for people with long memories, remember back in April 2005, the Norwegian Dawn was sailing back to New York from the Caribbean and was hit by a rogue wave, and there was damage on the ship. It was scary. The ship had to stop and make repairs and whatnot. But nobody was hurt, and two different inquiries, one by the National Transportation Safety Board and one by the Bahamas Maritime Authority, said that Norwegian Cruise Line and the captain of the Norwegian Dawn just behaved in an exemplary fashion to try and navigate this rough weather as responsibly as possible. Not to rush, they actually slowed down their trip back to try to make the trip more comfortable for the passengers. But nonetheless, even though nobody was severely injured, these passengers were seeking a class action against Norwegian for perceived wrongs. And the court just threw it out, said, no, you can't have a class action. Norwegian did nothing wrong. They did the best that they could. It was a rogue wave, and have a nice day.
Well, because some of the claims that that were made, of course, brought about by the attorneys, I'm sure, was that they were alleging that NCL deliberately went into a storm in order to arrive in New York at a designated time because it had a filming schedule with the Apprentice TV show. Now,
exactly.
I mean, how bizarre is that?
That's right, and the NTSB actually confirmed. Actually, the NTSB quote was, rather than attempting to maintain the scheduled arrival time in New York, the ship's captain decided to lower the ship's speed and change its heading for the passengers' comfort. So very early on, they knew that was not even an issue.
Well, it's good that every now and then the court goes in the right direction, because if people were hurt and if there was some negligence, you know, that's one thing. But to claim that they were trying to get there in time for a TV show is ridiculous.
Well, as you know, Roy, I'm more than happy to call it a cruise line and doing stupid things when they do something stupid, which happens now and then. This is not one of those times.
No, you're absolutely right. But now I understand that a couple of cruise passengers were busted in the Grand Caymans for having marijuana in their ship's stateroom. Who the heck is checking staterooms?
Well, that's a great question. And furthermore, who brings marijuana on the ship into the Caribbean with them? It's kind of backwards of what we usually hear about in the news.
Exactly.
So apparently these two guys, they got on the Georgetown dock in the Cayman Islands, and they had drug dogs there. The Cayman Islands authorities did, the Grand Cayman authorities did. And one of the dogs barked at one of the passengers, and he was searched. Nothing was found. And but then they started talking to him. And so this passenger apparently admitted that the reason the dog was barking, the drug dog was barking at him, is not that he had marijuana on him, but they had marijuana on in a stateroom on the ship.
And he must have smoked it before, a little bit before he left
for
shore, he could smell it on the clothes.
Exactly. And so since he admitted that to the officers, of course the ship is docked there, so the officers have every right to now follow up on that and go to the man's stateroom and say, well, look, he does. And he was making good use of his ship's safe. That's where he had his marijuana stash.
Good Lord.
And so these guys had to spend their night in jail, miss their cruise, and pay $1,000 fine to get out, which under the circumstances, I suppose, is really...
It's pretty lenient, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like pay $1,000, pat you on your head, and send you on your way is not so bad.
But when I first saw it, I thought to myself, I mean, are these people searching under your mattresses and going through your things, trying to find things to charge you with? Certainly the cruise lines don't want to get involved in that.
Oh, heck no.
So it was a pretty silly thing.
It was very silly.
Now, fortunately, Bermuda has gotten by without much damage with this with the Florence storm.
That's right. So the Hurricane Florence came by Bermuda, and the lucky thing for Bermuda is they have probably the strictest building codes in the face of the planet for hurricanes and whatnot.
Right.
So it was the hurricane was Category 1. It came over. There was obviously they lost power and all that kind of stuff you'd expect to happen, but there were very few injuries, no deaths. And in fact, there were quotes from a cliffside resort called The Reef, where an employee said, everything's normal, the guests are in high spirits, we have a lot of repeat guests, and they're having fun. So that pretty much sums up the long-term impact of the hurricane on Bermuda.
Yeah, as long as you've got booze and food and some music and a little bit of entertainment, and nothing is happening other than winds blowing around, not a bad party.
Yeah, and that's, it's obviously a very... it's a wealthy island, and so they can afford to have these very strict building codes that, they had their hatches battened down and there were no issues.
Exactly.
And obviously some cruise ships had to deviate and not go and skip the island during that time, but it's really no issue now.
Evan, a pleasure, and thank you again for updating us on what's happening out there in the cruise biz and with the cruise buzz, and we hope to be talking to you again next week.
You're most welcome.
Pleasure. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.